Hey, Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, the show where we discuss all things related to the Philadelphia Eagles. Before we begin, I want to remind you all that you can read our content on nj.com/eagles, and make sure to bookmark that to get the latest Eagles news and analysis. Today, I'm once again joined by my No Huddle Show co-hosts, Bob Brookover and Caden Steele. On this episode, we'll talk about the Eagles team that has plummeted their way down from a potential number one seed to playing as a wild card Monday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll also preview that game, give you our predictions, and also talk about if head coach Nick Sirianni will be back next season. But first off, Bob, Caden, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. It's doing great. Week 19.
Oh, gosh. Week
19. Might not be a week 20. We'll see.
Is that a preview to a prediction?
It might be. gotta listen to the end to hear that. We're just not going to give this stuff away.
Good point. Caden, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Doing a lot better than whatever is going on with the Eagles, that's for sure. But, you know, this could be the last week. But, you know, for me personally, it's good. For you Eagles fans out there, I'm sure you guys are stressed, but, you know, doing well right now.
That's good. That's good. But yeah, as it seems like it's becoming commonplace lately. The Eagles fell to the New York Giants last week and all but solidified themselves as the five seed here coming up on the NFC side of the playoffs, matching them up against the NFC South champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where somebody had to win that division because that's almost equally as bad as the way the Eagles have been playing lately. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came away with a win against the Carolina Panthers, solidified them, and now we get to see the Eagles going down to Tampa Bay to play the Bucs. I guess we'll start out with this one as first. Let's start with this topic first. And we talked about this pre-fall. We talked about the way that this team has been playing. And all roads have to lead to the head coach because he's ultimately responsible with that. And Nick Sirianni. I'll start is out to both of them. I'll go Bob and then go to Caden. Bob, do you think Nick Sirianni's job is on the line if the Eagles lose Monday night?
Yeah, I think some of it depends on how the game unfolds. What's it look like? I mean, if this looks like what we've seen the last 2 weeks against the Cardinals and the Giants, I'd say yes, he's in definite jeopardy. You know, he's supposed to be the in charge of everything. He says it all the time. I'm responsible for everything. Well, if they lose and lose in ugly fashion, that means he's in charge of a team that's lost six of its last seven games, lost its way. The 49ers came in and ripped out their heart, and they never were able to put that heart back into this team, figure out a way that, you know, he made a very executive decision to get rid of Sean Desai. It blew up like a trick cigar in his face, you know, and that's on him. And six out of seven losses on him. You know, I looked through this, did a story on it earlier in the week. The only Eagles coach to ever be fired after making the playoffs three years in a row was Buddy Ryan. The difference between Buddy and Nick Sirianni is Buddy never won a playoff game, but he still named his horse fired for winning, his racehorse fired for winning. But he, you know, he's still the only coach been fired three times, you know, went to the playoffs 3 years in a row. Nick's gone 3 years in a row, won two games last year, got to the Super Bowl. It's really a tricky situation for Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman because obviously this guy's had a lot of success. But ultimately, this is also the same regime that, you know, decided that Doug Peterson wasn't the guy after not making the playoffs for just 1 year. And last count, I think they've won one Super Bowl in their history, and it was Doug Peterson who won it for them. And they still were willing to fire him. You know, they got in a spat over who the coaches would be, and Doug had no chance in that fight. He was bringing a butter knife to a gunfight, or at least a sword fight. You know, and you know, there's just it's inconceivable 6 weeks ago that we could be even talking about this, but I think it's a very real thing based on how they play on Monday night.
All right, cool, good points, Caden. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Bob's, you know, summed it up pretty well that, you know, 6-7 weeks ago, we were talking about this team being the potential one seed in the NFC again. They just had a really good overtime win, whether you want to criticize their defense or not in that game, because, you know, it was a real struggle against Buffalo, but they won another game against Buffalo. Things seemed like, you know, it was trending upward. They got through that first, you know, gauntlet by beating Kansas City, Buffalo, if you want to include Miami and Dallas. Like, they, and no matter how they were winning, everything was looking, you know, pretty good. So they were finding ways. But with the way things have transpired over the last, you know, 2 months, I think it's a real possibility as well that Nick Sirianni's gone. And it is tough because he has been so successful. It really depends on the outcome. If they get blown out against Tampa Bay, his winning in, you know, in past years and, you know, last year making the Super Bowl and the year before turning things around, getting to the playoffs, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman have shown they are willing to get rid of a coach before it's too late. They don't hold on to coaches. There's not as, you know, much loyalty in that regards. Maybe they're more like that with the roster, especially with Howie, but when it comes to coaches, they seem to make a change when they feel like there is one. If they feel like Nick's lost the locker room or lost the faith of, you know, any of these players, even though most of the locker room, you know, from what I've seen, continues to say, you know, they believe in Nick. But if there is that feeling inside the locker room that, like, it's gone, they have no faith, they feel like they need a change, I think, you know, Howie and Jeffrey will listen to that, especially if they get blown out and things continue to go the way they are. And Nick, it's a sign that, you know, he built a really good staff when he came here with Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon. As much as Gannon was criticized and maybe people didn't realize how good Shane Steichen was, they had a core integral part of that Super Bowl team, and he failed in replacing both of them. I get Brian Johnson's young and he's getting head coaching interviews, and he's still probably highly respected around the league for his ability to develop quarterbacks. He struggled at play calling, and then hire Sean Desai, an outside hire. Whether you want to say he deserved getting demoted or not, I'm not sure, but he brought him in, it didn't work, and then he promoted Matt and Patricia, and it didn't work as well. So it's just his decision-making, and just the last 6 or 7 weeks, it just seems like Nick hasn't had any answers for their issues. It's just he seems a little bit clueless right now to what's going on, and it's not just him, it's the players. They don't know how to fix, you know, all these things are going on defensively and on the offensive side of things as well. So if Nick and Howie are feeling like, hey, Nick doesn't have the answers right now, and it might be tough to come into next year, you know, telling your fan base like, hey, like, hypothetically, if the Eagles lose 35 or 30-10, it might be a tough sell to bring Nick back. So as much as it's crazy to say, you know, fire guys made the playoffs 3 times in a row, I think Jeffrey and Howie aren't necessarily crazy. I think they're always ahead of the curve. And if they feel like, you know, it's time to, you know, make sure this roster gets saved and they need to go in a new direction, they will. So it could happen.
Cool. And when I look at this, I think when we all get back together and we're talking during either, like, say, during the annual meetings, the combine, or even training camp, I think we'll be talking about Nick Sirianni and the fact that he's still going to be the head coach here. But I think we're going to be talking about a lot of coaching changes, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. I think if they get embarrassed in front of everybody with the whole nation watching or the whole nation watching this game, then I think there's some heat put onto them. But looking at this, look at the way that they have done of the last couple of years, when you look at the way that they've made the playoffs each year he's been here, I think they'll give them the benefit of the doubt of at least one more season. Because even when I look back at Doug, say back in 2018, they started off really, really slow, but they finally won late, and then they won that playoff game. And then it wasn't until they gave them 2019 and 2020, just everything just imploded. And that was just a horrible season just overall. But I think if they'll recommend, and I make that little nudging, little like recommend, that he gets a new defensive coordinator, or they may, I hope not. If they say, hey, let Matt Patricia cook and get his own system and employ it in there, I'm not really feeling that. I think a couple, there may be a player or two that may not like that as well too, given this game and everything. But I look at it as a way that I just think Nick's going to be coming back, and for better or for worse, I look at the way that he's done. He has the buy-in the players. So the fact that AJ Brown came up during when he was tweaking his locker saying Nick covered for us. You hear all the guys talking about how he takes the bulls from him. I think that that goes a long way to saying they, okay, he's still kind of loyal to him. And I look at that and I'm like, all right, they, I think that plays a decent role, especially with the core of the guys, and especially if you get to the quarterback, because if Jalen Hurts is going, you know what, I think Nick can help out, I still believe in him and everything else like that, then I think that's what buys him, gets him that vote of confidence, because you don't want to mess with the quarterback you just signed to a massive deal like that. So when all said and done, I think Nick is back. But we've talked about, you guys mentioned this as well, in terms of Matt Patricia and Sean Desai and that change. Well, the Eagles defense has looked like a shell of itself. And that's saying a lot, because defense wasn't that great to begin with Sean Desai being a defensive coordinator calling the plays. In the last four games, here's the numbers of that. They've allowed 26.8 points per game, 386.3 yards per game in total defense, 229.3 yards in passing offense, and 134 yards a game on the ground. They let offenses basically gash them at every point and which way to go about it. So I'm going to ask you guys, do you think, especially coming into this game against Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and this Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, do you think this defense is capable of making a stop, or is going to be need the offense to basically win in a shootout? I'll start with Caden first on this.
Yeah, I think it's going to need its offense. There's nothing over the last 3 or 4 weeks, even since, Matt Patricia took over in that Seattle game, that tells you that, that was probably his best game against Drew Lock, and they gave up the game-winning drive to Drew Lock. But this defense has been horrendous the last 3 weeks. Chris, you just said the stats, and just like everything, about this defense currently, it's just not working. There's weird stuff like dropping your pass cover or your pass rushers in coverage. It's the injuries adding up now with Sidney Brown out for the year, out at safety, hurting your depth. And then when it comes to defense, it's just a combination of things. Josh Sweat hasn't had a sack in 8 weeks. Hassan Reddick hasn't gotten a sack in 4 weeks. Like, your top edge rushers are not producing the way they're capable of or what they're expected to. Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, have been up and down, which is to be expected out of young players. So your defensive line is, not as dominant. And Brandon Graham's not the same player he used to be. Fletcher Cox not the same player he used to be. It's just, you can't get after the quarterback. If you can't disrupt Baker Mayfield, he's got guys like, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who the Eagles did a really good job against in week 3. But as we all know, this is not the same defense it was in week 3. It's not the same team. This team they look dead going into the playoffs. This defense has no answers right now. And look, I know the Buccaneers always score 9 points against the Panthers, and they got beat up by the Saints the week before. They're not exactly a great team. And Baker Mayfield is not exactly a quarterback, though I think is this elite-level player who's a definite long-term star in the league. I still have my questions about Baker Mayfield. But I don't think that about Tyrod Taylor. And Kyler Murray was coming off a torn ACL this year, and he looked like the old and he's been up and down this year, but he looked like the old version against the Eagles. I mean, they have struggled against Kyler Murray, giving up 3 touchdowns to him. They let Tyrod Taylor. And then not only is, the pass struggles, something that's real, like we've seen the James Bradbury decline, and getting Darius Slay back from arthroscopic knee surgery, I think will help, because I think he will be able to, contain Mike Evans. I still think he's the Eagles' best corner. He's still a really, really good corner, in my opinion. So that, getting him back, and they'll have an interesting decision with Kelee Ringo and all those things, but everything's a mess. Like, they can't get after the quarterback. Linebacker play is still pretty bad. Secondary's still pretty bad. And then now that you have injuries on top of it, I just don't know how in 1 week they're going to have a solution. And then you change system, change the system. They're saying they're still running Sean Desai's system, Matt Patricia, but obviously, players look confused. There must be some misassignments. Matt Patricia's struggling to adjust. Like, everything right now is a mess. So there's just no amount of confidence that I have that they can somehow, stop this Buccaneers offense, who's not really good at running the ball, but this team can't stop, you know, the run. We've seen it with James Conner the week before and Michael Carter going for 221. We saw it with Saquon last week. They can't stop the run right now. So it doesn't matter if the Buccaneers have the last, you know, rushing offense in the league with Rashad White. They could have great success against the Eagles. There's nothing right now that tells me that they're going to be able, you know, to make consistent stops. So the Eagles are going to really, really need a good offensive performance from Jalen Hurts. And, you know, that's a question with, you know, the dislocated finger, if he's going to be able to throw the ball well. And A.J. Brown with the knee injury, like everything right now is telling you that they're going to need this offense to be able to outscore Baker Mayfield and company. And I'm not even sure if they could do that. So, I mean, it's going to have to be a shootout just for the fact that they can't make any stops. But I'm not sure they're in the position to do it either.
Hey, Bob, what do you think? Do you think this is going to be a shootout? The Eagles will have to play shootout ball, or do you think that the Eagles' defense can actually rise to the occasion for once?
Well, Caden covered a lot right there. One thing he didn't cover was the Reed Blankenship injury. He didn't practice yesterday, so you got a problem there. The other thing is Sidney Brown's done for the season, and he had become a huge contributor to this defense, especially in this, as playing in the slot cornerback role. But all the things Cade said are just so true. You know, they other than the fact they don't stop the run, they can't get a sack. You know, they've been just fine. You know, and they don't get turnovers. But other than that, the defense has been great. So yes, the offense is going to have to put up some points here. And let's turn to the offense. And as Cade just pointed out, that the quarterback has a finger issue that we don't know how that's going to look when he gets on the field. You know, he said yesterday he regretted going back in that game, which not a good look for, that's the coach probably should have stood up, and said, what's the point? No, don't. I'm not sending you back out there. So that's not a good look. A.J. Brown being not practicing yesterday, not a good look. Not a lot of things. Like, you look at this, the situation this team's in here on the Friday before the Monday night game, we're taping this on Friday, and you say, oh yeah, that's encouraging. Maybe Darius Slay, but he's coming off. He hasn't played in 4 weeks. He's so probably going to be rusty. I know he's a veteran, and he said last week, I'll be ready. I've been playing the game a long time. All right, that's fine. But Avonte Maddox has gone out there, and he was better in week two than he was in week one, coming back from his pec injury. But he was just really bad in his first week back against the Cardinals, and he was just okay last week. He was definitely better, but it would have been he set a low bar that first week. He's a good player, but it's not like riding a bike. You just don't get back out there and start playing. Zach Cunningham's another example. Didn't have a great game against the Giants, just coming back from injury. There's a lot of reasons to be concerned. And to get back to your question, the offense is going to have – I think the offense is going to have to put up at least 28 to win this game, and I'm not sure they're capable of doing it.
That actually brings up a good point. I'll give my point first, and then I'll go into a target number. When you look at the way that this defense is playing, and the one thing you could at least hang your hat on if you were the Eagles early in the season was, if you were able to stop the run and make a team one-dimensional, throw the ball, you at least had a chance. You think that they could win or at least be competitive in that, and they haven't been able to stop the run. And when I look at Tampa Bay and what they bring over Rashad White, the area that he runs the best at is to that right side and to the edges. And when you look at where teams have had their success lately, it's been running to the right side and to the edges. So that gets me a little skeevish going about what's going on, if they can really stop it. And then also you look at Baker Mayfield, and I know he is night and cold. You don't know which one you're getting. He didn't practice yesterday. He's dealing with ankle injury and ribs. If you look at the way that the Buccaneers handled him the previous week against the Panthers, I wouldn't be surprised to say during Friday's practice that he would be limited. Saturday's practice, he's a full go, and then we'll see him Monday night. But you look at the way that Drew Lock moved this ball against his team. You look at the way Kyler Murray shredded this defense. You look at the way Tyrod Taylor moved this defense as well, too. I'm leaving out Tommy DeVito because that was just Tommy Cutler got cut through the whole entire thing. But you look at the way that they were able to move the ball against this Eagles defense. Baker Mayfield, in my opinion, is better than all of them. except for Kyler, maybe Kyler Murray. He's probably the second best in that one, too. And you saw what Kyler did. So it's legitimate. I have a legitimate concerns about the way they can do that. You guys mentioned the depth in the secondary. It's going to be tested. You potentially may have to move one of those cornerbacks, maybe like Kelee Ringo, something like that, who's back to safety. You know, they were cross-trained. A lot of these guys are cross-training cornerback and safety. Ringo spent a lot of time at safety before he was pressing the service because of the injury. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like that, maybe potentially, especially if Blankenship's back. I think Blankenship, there's a chance he could be back. And a groin injury is something you don't want to mess with, especially against those wide receivers. So,
well, another point about being the safety concerns is White isn't, he might be a better receiving back than he is an actual pure running back. He's caught 64 passes for 549 yards this season. He's got three touchdowns, and he's done a lot of damage in recent weeks out of the backfield as a receiver. But that's an issue too with the Eagles linebacker and safety problems that you got to look at too, especially when you got two really good wideouts that you're trying to shut down.
And we have to throw edge rushers in there now too, because they're covering the hook to curl area, which if I see Rashad White out in space against Josh Sweat one-on-one, it ain't feeling good. But we were talking about this defense. What's the number do you guys think that they have to hold the Buccaneers to even have a shot?
I think like 24 or 21 to have a shot.
20.
20? Okay.
20.
Well, or we're going to have a podcast next week. I'm just kidding. This defense is holding to 20. Oof. They held them to 11 to week three, but this is a whole completely different team this time around. Bob, I'm going to go to you with this next one. What's the most important matchup for the Eagles if they want to win this game?
A big one, the one that's going to get a lot of attention is certainly shutting down the two wideouts, Godwin and Mike. Help me here.
Mike Evans.
Thank you. I'm drawing a blank. He's only the best receiver, one of the best receivers in the last decade in the NFL, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. Shutting down those two guys is obviously big. Mayfield not being 100% maybe helps the Eagles, and they need to get their mojo back on the pass rush. If I'm Matt Patricia, I say enough of putting my edge rushers in the flat and to cover guys. If my linebackers and my safeties and defensive backs can't do it, then we can't do it. I want my rushers to rush, and I want a hand in Baker Mayfield's face. He's not a real big guy. I want a hand in his face. Every time we go, that's obviously a big one. You've mentioned shutting down the run from a defensive standpoint is big. Offensively, the Eagles have to take advantage of what is a pretty good defense, I think. They have some talent on the defensive side, and Todd Bowles, offensively, the biggest thing to me is that they're seventh in the points against this season. The biggest thing to me is what they didn't do very well last week against the Giants and the now jobless Wink Martindale defense is handle the blitz. They didn't handle it well at all. Jalen didn't handle it well. The offensive line, in my opinion, didn't handle it very well. And the Giants are the number two blitz percentage team in the NFL, Minnesota number one. Bucks are number three in that category. The Eagles have to – Jalen has to go to his hot reads. The offensive line has to do a better job of picking guys up. If that doesn't happen, this game could really get ugly if the Eagles handle the blitz the same way this week as they did last week. Because it's coming. Todd Bowles licking his chops. He's a really good defensive coordinator. Been doing this a long time. He has a Super Bowl ring as a defensive coordinator. Temple's finest, one of the class acts in the NFL. I'm sure he's looking at that film saying, let's do this. Oh, Wink did that. Let's try that. I got my own blitzes. We're going to see them blitz a lot. And if the Eagles don't stop that, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, and one of the things that I still remember back to that the playoff game in 2021 season, they used a lot of cover six against Jalen Hurts, and he struggled. That led to one of the Buccaneers' defensive coaches yelling that infamous line, he can't read defenses. He changed a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Wrinkle or more yeah, cover six like we did that last time.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that, but there's times where, you know, there are times when Jalen, I think, rolls out of the pocket too quick. But I didn't think that was the problem last week against the Giants. I just think the Eagles did a bad job handling the blitz, and I think he didn't – I'm not sure the scheme was good enough to handle the blitz, to be honest with you. You know, one of the things that I hate to hear Brian Johnson say is, you know, we got to get more explosives. We've got to get more explosives. And – I just sometimes want to scream, just take what they're giving you. So what it takes 10, 11 plays to march down the field. You know, that's what I'd really like to see the Eagles do in this game is come out and establish a run. And, you know, they did that big time in the first meeting between these teams. What did they end up rushing for? 201 yards in that game. That's how you can take the Bucs out of this game is go back out. You have the best offensive line in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, according to a lot of people. And, you know, it's still a really good offensive line. You have a terrific running back in DeAndre Swift. Go out and establish that was the Eagles' identity at that point in the season. They had done it against the Vikings. They continue to do it. Establish that identity on Monday night. Come out and say, you know, we're going to have the ball for 35 minutes to 40 minutes of this game and stop us if you can. To me, that's the way they win.
Yeah, Hurts got better. One thing I would love to see them to do is, you know, they had for a good scheme, so they could go to the splits, they tag those routes, the hot routes and everything else. So you mentioned before, you're right, take a defense give you. Those supposed to plays, it could be a 3-4 yard pass. Next thing you know, it was 16 yards after the catch. Nobody cares that it was 16 yards of catch. It shows up as 20 on there, and you get that explosive play that you covered it. So, yeah, so that's going to be a key thing. Good stuff, Bob. Caden, for you, what player which will have to step up the most on Monday night for them to win?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of players, right? I thought about it at first, and I was like, there's some guys on defense that are going to have to step up. But just from how they've been struggling, I'm not sure if one player is enough at this point to really change what's going on. So going back to what we talked about earlier, this is going to be need to be a shootout for them to win. Bob, you know, said 20, they're going to have to hold them to. And I said around like 24. So they're at least going to have to score 24, 27 points, you know, to potentially, you know, win this game against the Buccaneers. So I would go with Jalen Hurts. It might seem like the easy answer, but he needs to outplay Baker Mayfield. He needs to have a good game. And look, it might be really tough. We have no idea what it's going to look like when he's throwing on that finger and how many times they're going to throw it. If he's going to be able to throw deep, can he protect the ball, you know, with the injury? Is he going to have, you know, if protection issues become an issue or if errant throws become an issue, this could get really ugly if they turn over the ball. They need Jalen Hurts to have one of the best games of his career, which might be a tall task with the injury, but they gave him a 5-year, $255 million extension for a reason. He arguably outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl last year, was the best player on the field. He had a great playoff run last year. He stepped up in big games from before, especially the three last year. And there's been moments this year where you still see where he you know, has that potential to be an elite quarterback for a long time in this league. But the last 6 or 7 weeks, and for the most part this year, he hasn't been the same quarterback. And you can – you know, say a lot of those issues go back to the offensive coordinator change of Brian Johnson and the play calling and everything around him, you know, hasn't been as productive, including A.J. Brown and the offensive line and DeAndre Swift. So it's not just him, but he is the quarterback and he needs to have a really, really solid game. And like going back into what I said, it doesn't mean he needs to throw for 300 yards. It would be nice if they could get the run game going with DeAndre Swift again so he can run for over 130, you know, plus yards again, and they can go for over 200 yards. That would be perfect, but we haven't seen that run game in a long time. So Jalen might have to play, and we've seen him play through injuries before with the knee and at the playoffs last year, like, come in, he was hurt. Like, he's done it before. He needs to play at an exceptional level, not turn over the ball, be smart, be accurate, be able to pick up those blitz and know when to get rid of the ball. And he's got to make some plays with his legs. He hasn't looked as explosive this year, but for them to win this game, he needs to play really, really, really well. And we haven't seen Jalen play, you know, really, really well in a long time. So I think that's a concern, but I still think it's in him, and I still think he's a really good player, and this is a big-time moment for him. He has a lot to prove in this game, you know, and if he does struggle, it'll probably have to do with the injury, but he needs to find a way to it's tough. It's a tough ask, but he needs to find a way to get through, outplay Baker Mayfield, and be the reason why they win this game, because they have so many deficiencies on defense and offense right now. They need their franchise quarterback, and it might not be fair to ask of them because the coaching is an issue and the execution outside of him is an issue, but he needs to help overcome it and be the reason.
Cool. And now it comes down to this time where we had our predictions to say, hey, are we going to go on the road after this and cover another playoff game, or are we going to be covering a locker room cleanout? Bob, what do you think the predict? What's your prediction for today, for this week's game?
You know, I just what I've seen since I've started covering this team, and let's tell everybody that I think a lot of people who listen know, but I've covered 18 games this season, 8 of the Giants, 10 I guess of the Eagles, or no. How'd that go? 10 of the Giants and 8 of the Eagles. And my overall record is 5-13. Somehow,
so it's your fault.
Somehow I'm still going to the playoffs. I'll tell this short story to people. Jeffrey Lurie, walking through the locker room on Sunday in New York, asked me if the team started losing when I started covering them. And I have to confess it did. I did tell him that he can fire me, but it's going to cost him. I'm going based off what I've seen for the last 6 weeks. I've seen a bad football team. And now I look at a bad and banged up football team. Going on the road. Now I look at a bad and banged up football team, and I don't see the Eagles winning this game. I've got the Bucks winning 23-21.
Oh wow! Okay, so it was a clear out. Caden, well, first off, Bob, thanks very much for slowing down the season for us. Appreciate that, and you know that one too. When the owner notices that, yeah, it's pretty noticeable on that part of that.
At some point in one of our future podcasts, I'll tell you about how I ruined the Phillies for years.
I'm sensing a theme here. Oh goodness, there we go. We'll definitely have to get to that. Caden, what do you think? What's your prediction for the game?
Yeah, I don't think the curse of Bob's going to end this week. But all kidding aside, I think this team is in significant trouble. Before we got on this podcast, we joked how Ocho Cinco was joking how this team was playing possum, but Bob said, you know, they're the possum on the road who's actually dead. I don't think this team has shown anything in the last 6 or 7 weeks. I mean, I guess at least the last 6 weeks, where we should feel confident that they have any chance to win. Yes, they were 10-1 at one point, but you can make an argument. They're playing as bad as any team in the NFL right now. If the Eagles, other than maybe a game against Carolina, I don't have any confidence in what this team could do. And yes, on paper, they should be able to beat the Bucs. They have a better quarterback, a better offensive line, a better running back. Although Tampa Bay's wide receivers are great, better wide receivers still. It'll take A.J. Brown over Mike Evans and currently. Like there's still some defensive pieces. You could argue the defensive line should be better than Tampa's based off talent. But these players are not, you know, producing to their name reputation right now. And unless something significantly changes in the next few days, over this course of this week, of this last week of practice, I'm not sure how the Eagles win. And I don't think it's, you know, fair to expect that. There's just not enough time to make the changes that they need to. And Chris, like you said, there'll be a big decision after the year on Sirianni and his staff. And I think they're going to need to make staff changes and personnel changes to get this thing back on course. You can't do that in 4 or 5 days. And like, it's just this team. It's not just one issue. If it was just one issue, I feel like, you know, they could win this game. If it was just the secondary, if it was just the pass rush, but it's the secondary, it's the pass rush, it's the linebackers, the quarterback play hasn't been good. The offensive line play is still solid, but it's not as dominant. Like the running game hasn't been as good. AJ Brown hasn't been going off, and he's banged up. We're not sure if he's going to be able to be effective or play. Like, they just have so many mounting injuries, and it doesn't matter if they have more talent on paper or if they've had more success over the, you know, last year than Tampa Bay. It doesn't matter anymore at this point. This Eagles team could lose to anyone, and I think they're going to go down to Tampa Bay, and it's not going to be a significant blowout because I just saw the Bucs just beat the Panthers 9-0. They got stomped by the Saints the week before, but it's going to be 23-14. It's going to be an ugly game in Tampa Bay. And they're going to dominate, and they're going to dominate more than the score indicates, and it's going to lead to a lot of questions and a lot of heartbreak, but it's going to be an ugly finish to the year because, I mean, there's no other reason to believe otherwise.
See, I kept going back and forth this week in terms of what my pick was going to be, because I look at the Eagles and the way that they play, and I remember the movie Miracle, where Herb Brooks says this team is not good or does not have enough talent to just win on talent alone. And that's just the case, I think, when I look at this team. I mean, you have a lot of good pieces at certain spots, but it needs to be a better scheme. It needs to be utilized a lot better. I look at that, and that factors one way thinking, okay, I can see the Bucs being the better team in that. And then I look at the Bucs on that side. Defensively, I think they're a lot better than what they were when we saw them first in week 3. But then I also look at Baker Mayfield being the quarterback, how banged up he is, his propensity to make turnovers as well, too. But again, it goes to that defense that has trouble forcing turnovers. I think this is a game where it's going to be really, really close. I think it's going to be one back away. Now, if you ask me for prediction probably on Saturday, at the same time, I'll probably have something different. Right now, I think the Eagles win 20-17. And I'm saying that begrudgingly, just looking at everything that's laid before them. I think it's enough where I think they learned that you rely on DeAndre Swift this game, seeing that he ran for 130 yards in the first game. The Buccaneers are going to see that too, but I think it's one of those things where it potentially is going to be rainy. Last night I saw the forecast, like a 90% chance of rain. It's one of what feels probably going to be sloppy. You got a banged up quarterback. A quarterback whose finger is not up at 100%. One of the things where you rely on the run, it's going to force them to rely on the run game. And I think the payoff is with Swift running effectively and maybe throwing a little Kenneth Gainwell in there. I think it's one of those things where it's just low scoring, rely on that aspect, and they come away with a win only because of a 4-minute drive late with Jake Elliott. I think that might be the way to go. Am I going too far off deep end with this one?
Yeah, of course, but it's your prediction, so go wherever you want.
Oh, the confidence that. Well, guys, I appreciate you guys once again for being on the podcast again, and I want to thank everybody else who's took the time to listen to us speak about the Eagles and this upcoming game. Make sure to don't forget to go to nj.com/Eagles and read all of our stories there and our analysis there. We're going to be on the ground in Tampa. We're going to have a lot of support helping us well too with stories about what the game as the night proceeds as well too and the day after. And we'll see how this team goes, and this game has the potential for changing the future path of this team. But we'll see what happens and transpires on Monday night. But for Bob and for Caden, I'm Chris. Everybody have a good one.